But people have always been saved by grace. Adam and Eve were saved by grace. Moses was saved by grace. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, you name them all. Nehemiah, they're every one of them. Sarah, Hannah, you just name them all. Ruth, they were all saved by grace. Nobody was never not saved but by grace. It's grace that gets anyone to heaven. The reason I say that, because there's some people that teach that in the Old Testament, people worked their way to heaven, but they didn't. No one ever worked their way to heaven. There's a hand back there to the far back. Mark, I see a man way in the back. We thank God for the marvelous grace that God gives us. We've been studying, and last week we're studying this, what we call this teaching or doctrine of eschatology. Eschatology means things that are to come. Everybody got one? And or last days. And last week I just hit on the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. We were in the book of Daniel, and we were all over the place. And I want to just kind of get you, kind of go over some stuff that I want to give you one real thought. Thank you, Brother Mark. And we are in the church age. And Jesus is the founder of the church. If you're taking notes, in Matthew 16:18, he said, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." How many remember that in Matthew 16:18? He said, "I will build my church." During Christ's ministry, the church was established. The local church was established during Christ's ministry. Matter of fact, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 1, you'll see there was 120 gathered there. Let's see if I can get there. In Acts chapter 1, and look at verse 15. Then in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of the names together were about 120. So there was already 120 members of the church that Christ started when he walked on this earth. But then Jesus said, if you'll hold your hand there in Acts, because I want you to see something. Don't leave Acts. Stay there, because I'm going to come right back to it. But look at, are you in Acts? Look at Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." How many see that? "And ye shall be witnesses." You see that? Now look, hold your hand there, because I'm going to come back to Acts. But look at the Gospel of John. Look at John 16. By the way, this came in my heart today to tell you this. You teachers, or anyone, when you're witnessing, don't ever take people for granted that they know things. Don't take for granted that people, even if they're fundamental Baptists, I know people, that's why I like to teach, just take time and teach. It takes me a while, because I don't do anything fast, but I like to, when people walk out, I want them to know what they heard. But you could be in church all your life, but if you're not taught, and if a person just says amen, amen, and never studies and never tries to apply the truth to their life, you'll go away an empty shell. So don't take for granted that everybody knows stuff. I'm going to do some basic stuff tonight, but I'm going to tell you, believe it or not, there'll be some of you that, even though you heard me preach this, you'll say, I don't remember that. You know, it's amazing. A lot of times a pastor will bring an outside preachers in, and they'll say the same thing the preacher says, but and the members say, "Wow, I've never heard it like that. Yet I've been preaching the same thing for 20 years." Doesn't make me mad at all. I just say, praise God, they got it. And you should never get jealous, you teachers and instructors. Don't ever get, you say, well, I just taught you that 2 weeks ago. Are you dumb? No. Listen, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Only the Holy Spirit can teach people. And I want to talk, I'm just going to take a couple minutes. We're in the church age. I told you John 16, didn't I? Look at verse 7 in John 16. Stay in the book of Acts. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's all he was the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it doesn't surprise me that word truth goes up there. But he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. And he did. He was crucified. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Then on the day of, then 40 days later, he went up to be with the Lord at the right hand of the Father. Amen? Come here with me. After 40 days, the Bible said he walked on this earth. Acts 1:3 said he walked on this earth for 40 days beyond any proof. You couldn't disprove. I can't come up with the word right now. I'm getting a block here, but I'll get to it right. Acts 1:3 talks about him. Yeah, by many infallible proofs. And but nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the church was started. It was started. Here's how I wrote it down so you could get it. The church was established while Christ's ministry on this earth. It was established. At the day of Pentecost, it was empowered. And it was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Christ said, until I go away, he said, it's expedient that I go away, but when I go, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send my Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring power. And Acts 1:8 says, you're going to be witnesses unto me. And so if you look at Acts 1:8, says, look at Acts 1:8, you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come. Remember he promised that in John 16? Look at chapter 2. Look at 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one with one accord in one place. That was the local church. The local church. There was at least 120 of them there right there, Eddie. The church was established. It was just being empowered today. On this day, on the day of Pentecost, it was established by Christ. It was empowered on the day of Pentecost. A lot of people try to get the church to start on the day of Pentecost. It didn't start on the day of Pentecost. And that's what I'm trying to teach you. I want you to get truth. The average person, they'll say, oh, when the church started, they say, well, it started at Pentecost. No, it didn't. Jesus was the founder of your church. It makes a real difference that you got Jesus as your founder. Because all the other religions have a man or a woman, a sinful person as their founder. We don't have our Savior as our founder. Hello? Check up all the religions. They'll tell you all the founders of them. We don't have one. We don't have a man for a lost sinner as one. We have the Savior, the Son of God, as our founder, Christ. Amen? By the way, John the Baptist, Jesus walked 60 miles. Jesus walked 60 miles to get baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist got his name from heaven. Check it out. God named John the Baptist. John got his name from heaven. He got his authority from heaven. That's why we tell you about getting baptized by the right authority. If you learn the local church, you'll see how important it is to go by the local church. And that's why when you start churches, another church should be started out of a local church. Somebody just can't say, I'm going to go out and start a church. You've got to be sent out. Like they did in the book of Acts. They sent Barnabas and Saul. You got to be sent out from the local church. Amen? Okay. I don't know, Rowdy. If I'm going to get... this was just supposed to take a minute. And look at Acts 2:1-8. Look at Acts 2:1-8. Because I want to show you something in Revelation and Genesis that some of you are going to get excited about. I just got to get there, and it's on the back page of my paper. And when the day of Pentecost was come, and we knew it was coming because Christ said it. And by the way, look at Acts 1:3. I will read that. I should be able to quote that. whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Something's infallible, you can't disprove it. They saw him. Matter of fact, at one time, over 500 people saw Christ at one time after he rose from the grave. And being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so so you can see for sure that Christ was who he said he was. Amen? Then Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, the local church, the Baptist church that Jesus started back there in Jerusalem, in Matthew 16:18. And suddenly, by the way, no Baptist church can get you to heaven. Don't leave here thinking that. Ain't no church gets you to heaven. I don't care what name they go by. I'm just telling you, Christ started a local church. I'm glad we're the stream out of it. I'm glad we can be identified with the church Christ started over 2,000 years ago. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And look at verse 4. And they were filled with what? And Brother Billy, every time you study this book of Acts, talks about the New Testament, every time people are filled with the Holy Ghost, it was for one reason, to witness. Being filled was for one reason, soul winning. Every time the Bible says here, they were filled, the next thing you'll find out, you study, and that's not my Bible study tonight, or I'd show it to you. But you go through the scriptures in the book of Acts or anywhere, when it says when they're filled, you'll see them preaching about Christ and people get saved. By the way, the Holy over in John 16, I didn't read it beyond chapter verse 7. You go down a little bit farther, a couple verses down, it says the Holy Ghost will not speak of himself. But he'll go, like these false churches, he's called charismatic churches. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Have you know about the Holy Ghost? No, but I sure know about Jesus. The Holy Ghost doesn't hold himself up. He honors Christ. I thank God for the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is what brings conviction. Amen? We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's part of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What I'm trying to say is, but when these false churches get up and start saying, you got to have the Holy Ghost, you got to speak in tongues. I'm going to tell you right now, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, I'll get going, Mark. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. You ain't kidding, they did. Watch what they did. As the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at the Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. If you keep reading, you'll see there's over 17 different countries. Next couple of verses down there, you'll see there's all kinds of people from everywhere that were Jews. Now when this was noised about, the multitude came together and were confounded, because at every man heard them speak what? In their own language. This blah, 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 should have bought a Honda Hogwash. Don't get caught up in that. They might be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. The Bible said we're supposed to try the spirits, whether it be of God. These people didn't do a jibber-jabber, Johnny. They just, like if there was someone from France or England, or you just named, I'm not just making these things that we could, like they were from Arabia there, and they said from different areas, they spoke in their language, so they understood. Wouldn't do them no good if they heard a jibber-jabber. Amen? It says that they heard them speak in their own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Wow, all these different apostles, and they're all speaking a different language, and we can hear exactly what they're saying, and how we hear every man, I want you to see this, in his own tongue. That's a witness, Johnny. That's two times now, verse 8 and verse 6, so they said they heard it in their own language. Two's the number of witness. Jesus said, if you don't take anything unless there's two witnesses. That's telling you twice that they all heard in their own language. How many see that? It wasn't a jibber-jabber. And then as you study, you know the scripture. You look over in verse 41, 3,000 people were saved. So that was Eddie, that's how the church started. It was empowered that day, but it had already been started. Established. The church was already established when Christ walked on this earth. How many are with that? Because I want you to get that. Because, see, on your paper, we've got the church age. And I want you to remember, a couple weeks ago, I read to you from Romans chapter 11, Romans 11, remember we told you about the Gentiles? Remember how I told you how grafted, how God, at the Jews, Jesus came on his own, the Jews received him not? So then he let us West Virginia hillbillies get saved? How many remember that? That's been a few weeks ago. Look at Romans chapter 11. And then I'm going to start teaching. This is the last of the review. Romans 11, 25. It's the fullness of the Gentiles. God's calling a Gentile bride now. But now anybody can be saved, Jew or Gentile. The Bible says the same Lord unto all, call upon his name. I'm trying to get to Romans, Acts, Romans. If I go the right way, I do it. Acts chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, talking about the church, that the Gentiles be brought in, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so now God's opened up to Gentiles. He's opened up to Jew too, but I showed you, I can't go back over all the scriptures. I'm just trying to review because I'm moving on to something else. And I showed you just a couple how he said, go only to the house of Israel. Remember that? But then the house of Israel turned him down. So then now God opened up to all people, Jew or Gentile. How many remember that? Okay, so he starts his local church, and now he's calling for whosoever, I preached on this last Sunday, whosoever will may come, I don't care who you are, may come. And boy, it was exciting seeing Shannon's dad get saved Sunday. That was really exciting. And so I've got the next thing I want you to see is this, because a lot of people get this mixed up. We're in the church age. Who started the church? It was established by who? Christ. And when was it established? During his ministry. That's right. Then when was it empowered? You're right. And so so we start the church age. And now, if I understand the scriptures, and I think I do, now we're the next thing I believe on God's calendar for the church is the rapture. And I'm going to read some scriptures to you. If you can, follow along. If not, just listen to me. But you'd be surprised. These are scriptures a lot of you heard before. But Billy, the rapture could come right now. Why you and I and Mom are studying the Bible. Wouldn't that be exciting? I've always liked to have the rapture happen while I'm preaching. You know? But it could come any time. I don't know. By the way, no one else knows when it's going to happen. Don't go out and buy these books and all these things. And people say, buy my book. I'm going to tell you the day, exact day, when the rapture, you know, they had the idiot over there in New York and calling April or May or whatever it was. And you'll probably come up with a third try now. And they'll keep trying because there's always, you know why? Because there are people that are Christians, but they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's why we need to be grounded. And that's why I just like to take time on Wednesdays or different during Sunday school times and just take time and show you and repeat over and over so you get it deep in your heart. So it's not the preacher. You see it in the Bible. It's in your heart. Amen? Well, let me just give you a few. The next thing, and you got that on your paper, that paper I gave you. Right there, it says rapture, right? Okay. So that's the next thing that's going to happen. We're going to get called up. Look, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Why don't you find it, Eddie, and I'm going to have you read it. Rod, can you find me 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18? And Mark, can you get me 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 8? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Stand up, Eddie, and tell them where you're at. 1 Corinthians 15, 51.
1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Keep going.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
By the way, did you notice it was a mystery? Something, a mystery is hidden. Remember back in Romans, in Romans 11:25, it says, I'm talking to you about this mystery of God calling out the church. How many are with me yet? Okay, go ahead and start over again, and keep right on going. 51, 52, 53.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Yeah, brand new body. Hallelujah. I need one real bad.
In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Blink your eye. Everyone blink their eye. That's how quick. One moment we're going to be like this, and then, the next moment we're going to have glorified bodies. What a makeover. Mako's never done that. Amen? Go ahead, Eddie.
At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Yeah, we're going to get brand new bodies that never die, that never get sick, that never sin. It's going to be a tremendous time. Go ahead, Eddie. Keep going all the way to the 58.
So when this corruptible shall...
Yeah, we have corruptible bodies. That's why we get sick. That's why we get arthritis, diabetes, stinky feet. That's why all the... Because, toe jam. We all have corruptible bodies. Earwax, Go ahead, Eddie.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, for which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we sing that song, O victory in Jesus. So what we're waiting for right now is what we call the mystery. The Bible calls it. We call it the word rapture is not in the Bible. So don't go to your Strong's Concordance and look for the word rapture. You're not going to find it. But you'll find the word mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery, and this mystery is about Christ coming in the clouds and calling us up in a moment of a twinkling eye. Now Rod's going to read to you. Go ahead and 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. We'll tell you more about this. This is ready to happen anytime now. We're on the brink of this. We're on the brink of this right now.
1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren.
No, God doesn't want us to be in the dark. He don't want us to be stupid. He wants us to understand what's going on. Go ahead.
That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Yes.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Okay, now look up. Yes, amen. It is comforting to know that we're going to be with our... I've got loved ones right now in heaven that's one ahead of me. Someday soon, Christ is going to come in the clouds. The trump of God is going to sound out. And all those that are dead in the graves... when I preach a funeral and I go to those cemeteries, man, I blow those people right out. Because that's the scripture I read. You preachers, you can't get a better scripture to end on a funeral. I say, folks, someday Christ is going to come right up in those clouds. And the trump of God's going to sound. And all those people that are saved in these cemeteries, this dirt's going to fly wide open and those bodies are going straight up. Man, the people, hey, this guy's doing something, man. He really ate his peanut butter today, man. And I'm going to say that then we which are alive right afterwards are going to go up. And we're going to be together. We're going to get Eddie told you we're going to get brand new glorified bodies. Isn't that exciting? And that's why Roddy talked about Warford Company, because like I know Debbie's daddy's already up in heaven, but his soul right now is with Christ. His soul and spirit's there. God's going to resurrect his at the rapture, and my mama, and they're going to, he's going to resurrect all those saved people, their bodies, and those bodies, those soul and spirits are going to go right inside those bodies. And they're going to make brand new bodies out of them. My mama died of cancer. She'll be cancer free forever. Amen? And we've got that to look forward to. If I was not saved, I don't know how the world makes it. Because this world's on the, going to destruction. And so we've got the glorious promise and hope of Christ. Someday, any time now, pulling us out. Amen? And so, that's exciting. Mark, you got 2 Thessalonians chapter 2?
2 Thessalonians 2:1.
This is what, I think this is where I ended last week.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we believe that's the rapture.
And by our gathering together unto him.
That's, and then Roddy just read it. About this gathering together.
That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first.
Yeah, people leaving the truth. I wonder if are we at that time right now, or have people left the truth? You ain't kidding, they have, buddy. It's called apostasy. Go ahead.
And the man of sin be revealed.
Oh, Antichrist. He's coming. I believe he's alive right now. I don't know who he is, but I believe he's alive. Go ahead.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
See, last week, we talked about this Antichrist a little bit, and we talked about that last week of Daniel, that 70th week. Remember that, the 7 years? And I told you that they got to build the temple. They don't have to build it before the rapture, they're going to have to get it done within 3.5 years, because in the middle of the tribulation, which is 7 years, the Antichrist goes in and proclaims himself as God. Remember Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 said, in the midst of the week, he will go in. How many remember that? Be looking for the rapture. Be watching for them to start the temple, because it's got to be built. Because during the trib, he's definitely going to go. There has to be a temple, Ruthie, because the Antichrist is going to go in there after 3.5 years and proclaim himself as God. Hello? Now, Billy, the way they build things, they could probably have the rapture. We could have the rapture, and they could probably build it in 3.5 years. So, but I'll tell you right now, God's going to be on time. With everything he says. So it wouldn't surprise me if they do start building it even before the rapture. But they're already, they've got all the plans. Listen, if you just look at the Temple Mount over there. People, there's a whole group of people called the Temple Mount. I get their stuff every week. And trust me, there are a group of people in Israel, they want to build that temple right now. They've been wanting to build it. So this isn't just a passing thought. It's something that they want. It's deep in their heart, and they're going to build it. What verse did you get it all? Okay.
That when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time.
Yeah, the church. See, the only thing that's holding it back is us being here. Okay.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth
Holy
will
Spirit.
Let.
Yeah.
Until he be taken out of the way.
Yep.
Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yes. And he's definitely going to do it. Thank you, Brother Mark. And so that's where we left off last week. And now, but what I want you to see is this. You can just write this one down. Another, if you want another, I can give you all kinds of scripture about the rapture. Let me give you another one. In Revelation 4:1, I've decided one night we're just going to go through the judgments in the Revelation. Probably take us a couple of weeks, but we're going to go through that little book of Revelation and show you the judgments and stuff. But Revelation 4:1 says, Revelation 4:1 it says, "Come up hither," and that is the rapture. Come up hither. Revelation 3:10 says, "I'll keep you from that hour," and that hour is the tribulation hour. See, the tribulation hour is a judgment time. The tribulation hour is a judgment. It's a judgment on the world. As a matter of fact, it's gonna, and see, look up here now. So we go up in the rapture, Brother Coolidge. All the saints of God. Now there's going to be 7 years between the rapture. See, there's two words that the church uses. Rapture. Well, whatever. And revelation. The rapture of the saints and the revelation of, how many of you heard this statement? The revelation of Jesus Christ. When we go up, it's real easy. When the rapture is, you're going up and you're meeting Christ in the clouds and you're going to go back to heaven. Then there's all kinds of stuff. You're going to get a glorified body. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ up there while we're up there. But that's not tonight. But what I want you to get tonight is, on the rapture, we're going up. Living up, 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 with up. Now, there used to be a commercial when I was a kid. But we're going up, up, up with Jesus. Amen? And just the people that are saved. Lost people are going to be left behind. Oh, I guarantee you, that's why they're talking about UFOs and all kinds of stuff right now. They're going to say that that UFOs came and snatched us out or something like that. I guarantee you. I don't care what they say once I'm gone. Amen? The revelation, see, in the rapture, the Christian goes up. If you're taking notes, in the revelation, the Christian goes down. By the way, in the rapture, the door opens in heaven, Revelation 4:1. In the revelation, and then again when in Revelation 19, the door opens again, and we go down. Something the door always has to open, because see, Jesus is the door, isn't he? And so, you're going up in the rapture. There's 7 years between the rapture and the revelation. 7 years. So don't get this, let me show you real quickly. Boy, look at Acts chapter 1. Mark, I want to get to that one part. You didn't even know it. I'm teaching on what you mentioned to me. I can't believe you said that. I'm trying to get to it, though. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 10. How many of you got Acts 1:10? I know you got it. If you don't want to turn, just listen, but boy, if you can turn and see the scripture along with me reading it, you get so much out of it. Sometimes people don't like to turn. That's all right. Just sit there and listen to it. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, Jesus is walking out. Look at verse 9, 1:9. And when he had spoken these things, remember he just gave him the commission to go out. Remember he said, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, verse 8. How many remember that? Now watch what he says here in 9, 10, 11. While he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud. Just like you're going to be taken up in a cloud. He left in a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. For us. Received them up in their sight. In other words, he just started elevating. Man, those apostles, just like you and I would have been, oh, that mock out of handy. What do you say there, Kingfish? Well, I mean, I'm telling you right now. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Their jaws dropped, Betty. And ours would, too. If someone started elevating from you, you'd say, hey, hey, hey. That guy ate his Wheaties today, man. Hello? Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know? And straight up in the air, and he went back to heaven. Now watch. Man, they were stunned, and so would you be. And look at verse 10. And while they looked steadfast, these apostles, disciples, towards heaven, as he, Jesus, went up, behold, two men, they're angels, stood by them in white apparel. These are angels. And look what they said. Which also ye said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? Now watch. Billy, this is not the rapture. This is the revelation. And that's why I want you to see the difference. This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. In other words, he was in the Mount of Olives, Billy. That very place where his foot left, he's going to come right back and touch the same place. That's the revelation of Christ. Turn back a few books. Look at Zechariah 14. Look at the Old Testament. It talks right about this. When you read that in Acts 1, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. What happens if you don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth? You're going to get messed up. There's 7 years difference between the rapture and the revelation. And the rapture, we're meeting in the clouds. In the revelation, we're coming down to earth. And by the way, in the rapture, we're going up. And in the revelation, we're coming back riding horses. Hello? In the rapture, it's a moment of twinkle of an eye. Betty, in the revelation, the world's going to see us coming. It says every eye will see. The rapture is a mystery, secret. The revelation, when something, just take the word revelation. It's an eye opening. In other words, it's something that's going to be seen to the whole world. How many are still with me? I know this is basic 1-1, but you'd be surprised how many people don't get basic 1-1. But if you don't understand these, if you don't understand what the Bible's teaching, you're not going to understand your Bible when you read it. Are you with me? Look at Zechariah 14. This is an Old Testament prophecy about Christ coming back. 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. That's the revelation. And that thy spoil shall be delivered in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. They're gonna. And we call Armageddon. Revelation 16:16. How many are with me? Megiddah? How many? Are you still with me? And to battle. And the city shall be taken. This is at the end of the tribulation. And half the city shall be forth in captivity. And the residue of the people shall not cut off from the day city. Then, verse 3, shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Man, when you read Revelation 19, he whoops the fire out of them. I really like reading, it's fun. As when he fought in the day of the battle. Whew. Look at in verse 4. Remember what you read in Acts 1:11? This same Jesus who left is coming in the same like manner. The very spot, Eddie, where his foot left. I don't know, I know it's the Mount of Olives, but wherever that very spot is, I believe with all my heart, Billy, that Christ's foot's going to land on the very spot that he left. I believe that. It's going to be in the Mount of Olives. And his feet shall stand in that day. You can put Acts 1:11 and 12 there. Upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the mountain of Olives, Cleves will miss thereof towards the east, and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove towards the north, half the towards the south. In other words, there's going to be a huge earthquake. They were going to build I've told this before, but years ago they were going to build like a Holiday Inn out there, over there by the Mount of Olives. Someone was going to build a big motel because they wanted to have it for a tourist thing. And they came back after the people surveyed it and everything. Says we wouldn't encourage you to have build a motel here or any kind of building because there's a seismic thing underneath here and it's getting ready. That thing could erupt any time and have a great earthquake there. And here they didn't know the Bible, but all it's waiting for is Jesus' foot. Amen. Now, real quickly, turn to Revelation 19. Look at 19:11. This is the revelation of Christ. But we've already been up there 7 years with him. We've already been up in heaven with Christ 7 years. We got glorified bodies. We went through the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible talks about that in Revelation or in Romans 10:14, and 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ, how all Christians must appear before it, and we'll give an account. If you get there, don't worry, it's not for salvation. You wouldn't be there if you weren't saved. It's going to be for rewards, how you serve Christ. But that's another teaching. That's a two-night thing. And then right before, Jackie, after that, then we have the big marriage supper of the Lamb, all kinds of pizza and lasagna and spaghetti and, you know, the whole works for us Italian guys. I mean, they're going to just put it, just, he's just going to lay, he'll, well, you can look at, 19:7. Let us be, how many got 19:7? Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And they got a huge table there, and all the saints of God will be there, and we're going to be having a feast with our great Savior. Amen? I don't know what's going to be there, but what is going to be there is going to be great because Jesus is going to be there. Are we going to eat in heaven? Yes, we are. We'll have fun, fun, fun till our daddy takes our T-bird away. Amen? Okay, how many are still with me? Now watch. I feel good. So then go to verse 11. Now we're coming back, Billy. Gabriel says, okay, boys. Now you had your fun pigging out with pizza and all kind of manna from heaven, Pepsi and Coke and whatever else you had. Now we're going to go back and take that earth. Mount your horses. Because our Savior is going to lead us down. How many got Revelation 19:11? I saw heaven open. By the way, the last time it opened was 4:1 when we went up. In Revelation 4:1, it says, come up hither. That's the rapture of the saints. Now, the door's been closed, but now it opens again. It opens at 4:1, and then it opens, then it closes, and then in 19:11, Lizzie, it opens again. We go back down. Isn't that cool? Up. They say whatever goes up must come back down. Are you with me? And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. You ever notice why they always use white horses in the cowboys? Hi-yo, Silver! They's always a good guy. You ever notice that? They get it from the Bible. They have those movies where they show those big white horses with those wings. They get it from the Bible. All that junk, they got that from the Scriptures. You think someone thought that up? No, they just were smart enough to get something from the Bible. That's a pretty good thought. He saw heaven open, white horse, and he that sat upon was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Uh-oh. He came in the first time as riding a lowly donkey. Not this time, buddy. Now he's coming back as a conquering king. He came as a sacrificial lamb the first time. Whew. Now he's coming to whoop. Amen. He's going to do some whooping. I like that. I like whooping. Amen. You know, Rod, I'm going to have a blast on this day. You're even going to be with me on this one. Go get them, preacher. Actually, the Lord's going to be doing all the whooping. We're just going to watch it, Stephen. We're just going to be spectators and watch it all. He's going to, he don't need us. We need him, though. Look at 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in his blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Five times that capital W-O-R-D is in the Bible. The word is mentioned five times in the New Testament. Every time it refers to Christ. And look at verse 14. That's us, Lizzie. And the armies which were in heaven. You know why we were there? Because we went up 7 years before in the rapture. Hallelujah! They followed upon white horses, clothed in linen and white and clean. Yeah, it's the robe of righteousness that he gives us. And out of his mouth, out of Christ's mouth, goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. Oh boy, he's whooping them. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads upon the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. They're going to find out who the people laughed at God. Now they're going to find out. He has on his vesture a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. It's exactly who he is. And I saw an angel standing in the midst, in the sun, 17. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of the heaven, come, gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. There's going to be so many people killed. They'll be eating the flesh, I think, for 5 months. Somewhere it tells you that. Let me keep reading. But anyways, there's going to be a whole lot of people killed. The Lord's going to, all those enemies that went against Israel, against God, he's putting a whoop to them, like Russia, Iraq, Iran, all those people that hate God, Ethiopia, how many are with me? Egypt, Boy, all anyone that went against them, Libya, they're all going to be smited. That you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and both men, bond and free, small and great. In other words, he said, come on, you birds, you vultures, you're going to have a smorgasbord. I remember when I was a young kid, a man came from bearing precious seed. I believe his name was Fleming. I believe it was. He said something I'll never forget. I was just a young kid preacher, young in my early 20s. He said something I never forgot. He said all down through time, these vultures that the scripture he was teaching here, they only laid one egg down through all time. But since the last 20 years, they've been laying 5 eggs. See, God's bringing up, he's raising up an army of vultures to eat all the flesh. Think about that. That'll blow your mind a little bit, won't it? Okay, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. We're that army. And the beast was taken, that Antichrist, and with him the false prophet. Yeah, just like Jesus had John the Baptist. John the Baptist, look up here. Oh, I'm not going to get this done. Wow. I'm rushing tonight too. Honest to God, I am. I'm rushing. We're not even got to what we're supposed to be doing tonight. Oh, I lost my thought. Well, let me give you my thought here. Just like Jesus had a forerunner that promoted him, John said, look to him. Look to him. This false prophet, he's going to tell people to look to the Antichrist. And the beast, which is the Antichrist, was taken with him of the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. And when he deceived them, had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, and both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Wow. Going to fry them. Amen? Don't tell me there's not a hell. There is. And the remnant were slain with the sword. And upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Yes, sir. Victory time. Are you with me? So here, at the revelation, when Christ comes back, Once this is all done here in Revelation 19, we go into the 1,000-year kingdom age with Christ. That's another teaching, but I just want you to... In Revelation chapter 20, it talks all about this kingdom age. Boy, Revelation is chronologically... Billy, Revelation, the book is written right in order. Bam, bam, bam. Everything's right in order. And because after the kingdom age, chapter 20, you got new heaven, new earth. And that's 21 and 22. I'm here with me. Well, I was hoping to, I wanted to talk to you about this in here. But let's see here. Are you having practice? How about if I take just 10 more minutes? Can I take 10 more minutes? So, that's the revelation of Christ. Those 7 years after the rapture, these are the worst time. Look at the 7 years between the rapture and the revelation. We're not going to be here. We're taken out. Don't worry about going to the tribulation. If you're saved, you're not going to be here. We won't be here. We'll be gone. I want you to see something about this trip, and then I'm going to stop. There ain't enough time. Look at the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. I'm going to give you a couple more thoughts and I'll let you out of here. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 21. For then shall be great, how many see the word? Tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Look up here, I want everybody to see me. There's coming huge judgment to this world. Not just to America, not just to sinful San Francisco, but the world's going to have the greatest judgment that it'll ever see in the history of mankind. There's never been judgment that great before it. There'll never be judgment greater than what we got coming ahead of us. Is the worst time. That's why people are dying of heart attacks and jumping out of things because they're so terrified. It's coming. This great tribulation is coming. And I'm going to tell you right now, the rapture can happen any moment. And if you got family and friends that are not saved, you better get them saved, because if they're not saved, they're going to be left behind. And if they're left behind, good chance they'll take the mark of the beast. And I'll have to show you that next week. But once you get the mark of the beast, then you're damned forever. I did want to show you one more thing, and I will stop. I did have more than that, but I got to stop anyways. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 7, and I'll quit. Do me a favor, Rod. Get that Revelation 7, 1 through 8. Everybody look up here while you're turning. Well, you can't. Let me give you this thought. We can't turn to it. Write this down. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 7. If I had time, I was going to show you. The reason God brought the flood, because man was so sinful. It says in Genesis 6 that God repented that he made man. And see, the whole flood was for judgment on this world. That's how evil man was. By the way, it says, as the days of Noah will, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. That's why he keeps getting more wicked. Like us old, our gray hair, we see things now that would never happen when we were young. It's going to keep accelerating. You younger ones, if the Lord doesn't come back soon, you're going to see things that a silver hair saw. You say, I can't believe that's happening. But what happened during that judgment of the flood? God had an ark, and God protected Noah and his family. He kept them from that. The ark is a type of Christ. Are you with me? The rapture is going to take us out of that trib. We're not going to be in that tribulation. How many are with me yet? I want to give you this last thought. Brother Mark, we probably won't be able to get on it, but give me that. Look at Revelation chapter 7. There's going to be Jewish people saved during this tribulation. Go ahead.
Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth.
Hurt not for a minute now. Because I want to seal some people. And they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Go ahead.
Neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000.
Yes. Did you notice what there was 12 tribes of Israel, and each tribe, 12,000 of each tribe is saved, and 12 times 12 is 144. So 12 times 12,000 of each tribe is 144,000. Those aren't Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are Jewish people. And by the way, I hate to break the Jehovah's Witnesses' heart. This is during the trib. If these are Jehovah's Witnesses, boy, they're in hard luck. They're time travelers, buddy. Because they ain't got here yet. Hello? How many are still with me? I'm going to give you one thought and I'm going to let you go home. Mark, I want you to look. Everyone look at. Hold your hand in Revelation. Hold your hand there in Revelation where you had it. And I promise I'll quit. I've got to stop. But I want you to go home and get with a thought. Look at Genesis 35. I couldn't believe Mark brought this up to me. He didn't know I was going to do this. It's not what he said to me, but I just a thought that he had. Just a thought that you brought the scripture where I was going to be at. How many see Genesis 35? Hold your hand in Revelation 7. We'll get into those people that are saved next week during the trip. Okay? And Mark, could you read 22 through 26 for me?
Watch.
Here is Jacob's 12 sons. He's going to give you the 12 sons of Jacob. There's a reason I'm doing this. There's a real... Go ahead and read them, Mark.
Genesis 35, 22 through 26. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, and the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad, and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Paddan Aram.
Okay, now, did you know who the firstborn was? Reuben. Now go back to Revelation chapter 7. Rod read in Revelation chapter 7. Preacher's got to turn to it, and then we're done. I promise I'll stop. You're lucky, because I could keep going. Did you notice in Revelation 4, I heard a number of them were sealed? How many are with Revelation 7? How many are there with me in verse 4? Now, and all the tribes of the children of Israel. And of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben. Did you notice Judah's mentioned before Reuben? And Reuben's the firstborn. Because Reuben did wrong. Took the concubine of his father. How many are with me? See, they always listed the first, but there's something here I want you to see. I was gonna have Debbie. We ran out of time. I was going to have Debbie write all the names down as Rod read them. But if you compare the names that are mentioned here with the 12 sons that are mentioned in Genesis 35, there's a name missing. The tribe of Dan. And Manasseh took Dan's place. Dan is missing. Dan is missing. Why is Dan missing? I'll get to you next week. Why is Dan missing? I can't believe it. Is the Bible messing up? No. The Bible never messes up. How many never saw Dan missing there? Yeah. Go home and study it. There's a reason. All righty. Let's have a moment of prayer. Thank you for being. I went over. Whew, man, this thing trying to get you out at 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. I'm trying. I'm feeling a little bit better, Ray, and when I feel better, I can go. You don't understand, we could drink a cup of coffee, and I could go right back for another 2 hours, hour and a half with you. I really could. I have more fun doing this. I love doing this. Hope it's not boring for you. We'll get into it next week again. Let's pray. Eddie, why don't you lead us in prayer?